Reading from the Nardabhati Sutras, text 56. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Doni Seta Una Vedad Atadi Vedata. Secondary devotional services of three kinds, according to which of the three material modes predominate, or according to which material motivation, distress, and so on brings one to bhakti. Purport. It may seem as we have been suddenly dropped from the heights. Narada has been describing highest stage of devotional of Krishna consciousness, and is now discussing secondary devotion. But Narada's course of instruction is well planned, practical, and realistic. He wants us to attain the higher stages. But as Lord Krishna says, Vasudeva Savam Iti Samahatma Sadulabha, the great soul who can see Krishna everywhere is very rare. Narada is therefore bringing our attention to the anarthas within the minds and habits of aspiring bhaktas so that we work towards the higher stages and not consider pure love of Krishna unattainable. On the other hand, if one tries to jump to the higher stages as if such a leap were easy, that is another mistake committed by Prakriti Sahajiyas, which causes a great disturbance both oneself and society. The preparatory stages of bhakti are called secondary devotion. They are necessary for those who are still affected by the modes of nature. Lord Krishna describes the motivations for such secondary devotion in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturviha bhajanti mam jana sukritano jana Artho Jigyasa Artarti Yani Chavaratarshita. O best among the Bhartas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he was searching for knowledge of the absolute truth. Omigana Timarandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Naksur Mutam Yena. It's my Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Napitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Sadati Sapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Upasindhu Vayevaja Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudev Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's so many subjects of bhakti we discuss, and we discuss how to attain bhakti. And then after discussing how to attain bhakti, Narada has given us a vision or view of what bhakti looks like. bhakti or devotion means the exclusive intention to please God. And when one has that exclusive intention to please God, a very wonderful energy manifests in one's heart. Ladini Shakti, pleasure potency, the essence of which is Krishna praying. And it flows towards the Supreme, who enters into a very, and the eternal relationship of the living entity is awakened, and there's a very beautiful exchange of love, which is what we are all seeking. Really, our topmost objective is to have that kind of feeling in our heart, even if we do not believe in God. People somehow are searching for that. And the Vaishnav conception of the ultimate reality is this kind of exchange between the absolute reality and the energies of the absolute reality, Maya Chitta Tapasya. And bhakti means to realize this. And when one really, actually, his mind becomes purified and one has a clear vision of what exists, one will see God. One will see everything in relationship to God. And that will draw out of one's heart one's connection or relationship with the divine, which is love, which is manifest in a perfect sense in lila, or pastimes, or relationships between Krishna and his devotees. Where that energy manifests to its fullest extent, called rasa, is a tangible reality. And to feel that love, that rasa, that relationship, that perfect existential love for the divine, which is the divine's love, to actually realize that and to feel that is the goal of life. Prema Pumartha Mahan. Mahan means great, artha, value. Prema, that's the value. And when one awakens that understanding and awakens that feeling, that desire in one's heart becomes all-consuming. And that's called lobha, or spiritual or transcendental greed. It is the thing that you want more than any other thing you've ever wanted in your life. And there's a certain trust or faith in that, even when you get a drop of that. But as Prabhupada said, that trust means, faith means to trust in something sublime. The ultimate sublimity is the energy, the pleasure entity of God, which is love. And when one comes in contact with that, the pleasure is so overwhelming that that's what one seeks at all costs. And concomitant with that is this intense attraction to God, to Krishna, who is Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. And we enter into a relationship with the perfect person who is real, who is eternal, who is the most dear, whose essence actually is the core of our own soul. And that's manifest in the hearts of the devotees, and one reads about that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's how one develops an attraction for it. It awakens in one's heart. So, that's bhakti. Today I was having a nice discussion with Vaisheshika Prabhu. Wonderful, wonderful Vaishnav. And somehow I was discussing something, and I said something, and we both kind of got into it. Motivation is everything. And more in bhakti than anything else. It's not just the acts of service. It's the desire to serve. Out of love, out of attraction. That's what bhakti is. Bhakti is bhakti. Bhakti is love with nothing else mixed in. And that's the perfectional stage. And we move towards that stage by putting ourselves in a position of surrender, putting ourselves in a position of service. That's what the worship of the deity means. That's what acceptance of the spiritual master means. That's what chanting of the holy name of Krishna means. Putting yourself in a position where you can have a relationship with God. God is the absolute truth. Krishna is the absolute truth. And the absolute truth is meant to be served. If one does not have that attitude, one has no contact with the absolute truth. Because that is our relationship with the absolute truth. And relationship means from both sides. Relationship with God means you have to be in the position of servant. Otherwise, you have no relationship with God. And God can't enter into a relationship with you. God can't reveal himself to you. Because God is revealed in relationship. Just like if you have a mother and you're the child, she is revealed to you in relationship. If you try to have another relationship, you don't understand that person. Because that's what your relationship is. It's natural. If you have a friend and you try to be their master, you don't understand that person. There's no relationship. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanam eko bahunam yoga dadati tamas. There's one supreme eternal. There's one supreme living force. Ekavat Ishvara Krishna ar sabya brita. Ekavat ar Krishna ar sabya brita. We are sabhavita. We're meant to serve the one. So, bhakti. So therefore, it's all based. Everything is motivation. Anukul yena, the attention to the favorable intention to serve Krishna. Everything is that intention. And because we do not have that intention, we're separated from God by our intention. By our desire, we're separated from God. The whole process of bhakti is to awaken that intention in our heart again by putting ourselves and focusing our consciousness on the object of our devotion. It's just like there's ice. Ice, there's water and ice, but there's no liquidity. The nature, the essence of water is not manifest. In certain conditions, the ice will become water. So in the same way, we are servants of Krishna, but it's been transformed into some type of selfishness. And the nature is not manifest. So that is our condition. And now it's going to describe another type of bhakti, which is practiced by those who still do not have the right motivation. And therefore are separated from God. So it describes how it's of different kinds. In the previous verses, when bhakti was described, it said it was free from motivation. And what does motivation mean? It means the
tuning.
Wow, what was that? Gunas, modes. Modes means motivation. When you want to not be a servant of Krishna, and you want to enjoy and control the world, at least be under that illusion, then your consciousness is reflected through subtle strands of matter, which give one the sense of being the enjoyer in different ways. It's kind of shapes of conducting inertia, sleep, laziness, that form of I am not a servant of Krishna, or intense ambition, intense desire, passion. That sense of not being a servant of Krishna. And goodness, which is not pure. The desire to be free and liberated. That sense of not being a servant of Krishna. So they pervade everything in this world, and it's the mechanism by which the soul is in the illusion of being the enjoyer and controller, something which he is not by his constitution. So obviously our devotional service also becomes mixed with that. And the foundation is a desire to enjoy. So what happens is there are those that are just not surrendered to Krishna. They don't have sufficient bhakti sukriti. And then there are those that are entering into service to Krishna. They have sufficient sukriti. But because they're still mixed with motivation, their devotion and service to Krishna becomes mixed with motivation. What's so beautiful about the Bhagavatam is that the Bhagavatam just presents pure bhakti. Any religion mixed with personal motivation, which in essence is not religion, is militantly kicked out of the Bhagavatam. Dharma kaitavo projitatva yamatsara anam satam. Militantly kicked out of the Bhagavatam. But still, people begin to surrender to Krishna, but they're not yet purified. But when there is sukriti, bhakti, they begin to approach God for one's needs. And that is a type of love. Just like if you're dependent on your parents and you're in distress and you go to your parents and you need some money and you go to your parents. You want some money, you go to your parents. There's some love involved, but it's so mixed. So it gave this verse in the Bhagavad Gita that initially, Chatur Vihava Janti Mam Jana Sukritano Jana Atta, that there are four types of people that come to Krishna. And one comes out of distress. One comes for wanting economic benefit. One comes out of just a curiosity, and then one is actually seeking knowledge and liberation. So there's mixture according to the modes, but there's an approach to Krishna. And as we'll read the next verse, there's a gradation because the ignorance to passion to goodness is moving towards service to Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example of a spark that falls from the fire. When the spark falls from the fire, if it is on, falls in the water, it becomes extinguished like a swamp. If it's kind of just ordinary grass, it may extinguish or it may inflame. If it comes on dry grass, you know, it will attain its original nature. So in that same way, our nature is godlike. And our nature is godlike is the nature of our God. It's just like example, the hand is the body, but it's the servant of the body. So it becomes functional. It becomes the body. It's alive. So we're part of God. And when we serve God, we become alive because that's what we are. That's our connection. It's very so in the same way, the devotion, in ignorance, passion, and goodness, it's different levels of the nature of the soul, which is devotion, begins to manifest. So there's a gradation. And we'll read about that in the next verse. Let's continue with the purport. The Bhagavad Gita verse occurs just after Krishna describes the four kinds of people who have never surrendered to the Lord. Those who are devoted to the Supreme Lord, even while seeking to fulfill desires, are called sukritana or pious. We have to internally introspect, and we have to look at our devotion and see what motives are mixed within that desire to serve. And the reason these verses are given after describing it, as said, the purpose is very practical. This is where we are. Identify it. Because if you don't identify it, you'll be performing mixed devotion, secondary devotion, in the name of real devotion. And we see this all the time. Where people are religious and they come to the temples and they worship the deity for their prosperity. That's gross, but even among devotees, you may do some service. You know, there's one thing I read in this book. Actually, my library is right here. I don't know if I can find it, but if I do, it'll be really wonderful. Let me look it up in a second. Looks like it may be a little difficult to find, but there is. Maybe I'm not going to be able to find it, but it described. In this book, it was called The Ladder of Divine Descent by John Climacus, and about those kind of desert monks, and described how a person, sometimes in an institution, he exhibits all type of devotional qualities, but if you put him as a monk in solitude, then they go, and then what you find out is that the devotional qualities in an institutional setting were being fed by the praise that one got for his devotion and the status that one got within that institution for his devotion. And take that away, there's no devotion, because that is motivation is everything. So we have to introspect. We have to look at ourselves. Though their good qualification is that they have turned to God. In Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10, Sukadeva Goswami encourages everyone, no matter what his present condition, to take up Krishna Bhakti. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushapa. Person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desires, without any material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole. Person tivrena bhakti yogena, strongly. So even if you have motives, process of bhakti is still purifying. It's just not as purifying as if you do it with motive. The bhakti is still independent. It's still purifying. The acts and of devotion, the objects of devotion, even when Prabhupada was, Allen Ginsberg came to see Prabhupada in London after many, many years. And he was affiliated with the movement in the beginning. He gave the first drum or harmonium, I don't remember. And he was chanting Hare Krishna. Maybe one of the first people to chant Hare Krishna in America somehow. He was chanting. Someone just sent me a video when he was on the William F. Buckley show, who I don't know if people not my age remember, but he was a brilliant conservative commentator, and he had this show called Firing Line, where he would challenge people. Very interesting. So he had Allen Ginsberg, and at the end of the show, Allen Ginsberg said, I'd like to chant a mantra for you. And he chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In fact, you know, I may even be able to find that. 1 second. I'm at my place, so I have a little more leeway to see. Okay, I'm going to let you hear it for a second. 1 second. What's going on here? Let me just see if I can find this. 1 second. I don't know if you're able to hear that. Anyway, the point I wanted to make is that was, when was that? Let me just see 1 second when that was. Anyway, that was really way, way back there. And then Prabhupada met him later, and then Prabhupada said, someone said, you know, he seems nicer. And then Prabhupada said, even if you chant offensively, you'll advance. It's just much slower. So the point is, even if it's mixed, try not to have mixed devotion, but don't become discouraged. Just practice intensely. And by that practice of devotion, one becomes purified. And then you come into Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti means that you practice devotion with the intention to please Krishna. The Sukritis, who are not yet on the platform of unalloyed devotion, can be purified by association with pure devotees. Of course, if one remains stuck in this lower stage, then it will be discontented. What prevents the devotee from advancing is the desire for bhakti, enjoyment of material objects, and mukti. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Goswami describes bhakti and mukti as two witches who haunt the conditioned soul and keep it from experiencing the bliss of bhakti. The bliss of bhakti is the nature of the soul to serve God. And we become haunted by our desires for bhakti, material enjoyment, and liberation. And a haunted person doesn't act as oneself. Again, the same thing, your nature of service is a transformation. Now it's kind of ice. The liquidity is not there. The bhakti, the devotion in the soul is not there. Actual devotional service is anya bilashita shunyam. Service rendered favorably to the Lord without desire for material profit or speculation. The devotees who serve Krishna in order to satisfy selfish desires are called sakama bhaktas. Those who serve purely without such desires are apama devotees. When a sakama devotee continues to render devotional service, the Supreme Lord turns him into a sakama, into a apama, turns him from a sakama into a apama bhakta, from desires to no desires. Somehow or other, the process works. You may get your desire fulfilled, but with the realization that it's nothing compared to devotion. Because your faith, your trust in bhakti is developing. And then when your desire is fulfilled or Krishna fulfills your desire, you're not satisfied because you have faith. Somehow you're in that process of executing devotional service. Your faith, your trust in the sublimity of bhakti arises to the degree that your material desires are put in its proper perspective. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he's the example who worshiped God for material acquisition. And he intensely, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, he intensely practiced devotional service. Even he practiced it with the wrong intention, but it was Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. It was Tivra, it was very forceful. And therefore, when he did finally achieve his objective, which is to have a planet greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma, Brahmaloka, and when he achieved his objective, then he said, compared to devotion, which is like a diamond, it's just broken glass. We have all these desires within our heart. We're practicing devotional service. We have all these desires in our heart. If they become fulfilled, once you have a drop and taste of bhakti, you'll realize how fruitless the fulfillment of those desires are, independent of a support psychophysically for the higher endeavor of devotional service. That's why Jamuna Acharya, when he realized devotional service, and then he was thinking, he was a king, so he's attached to sex life. But when he was thinking, when he really had bhakti and he was thinking of his previous sexual conquests, his sexual desire, he curled his lips in distaste. Because you can't compare the two. You're comparing iron to gold. We're searching for iron. And then when we get it, we realize its quality is not worth it. And that there's a glittering of gold within the practices of our bhakti, which maybe we neglected in our phantasmagoria of material pleasure. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of the devotee who approaches him with such motives, but he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. Krishna substitutes the nectar of his service for one's attraction to petty things. Who else could do this but the merciful and all-knowing personality of Godhead? The stage of secondary devotion, therefore, is not meant for permanent residence. Rather, it is an auspicious stage from which to go forward. Since any progress to the conditioned soul makes towards the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord is favorable for him. Secondary devotional service is not unimportant, just as the first steps a baby takes as he attempts walks are crucial to him. Text 57. Uttarasmad, uttarasmad. Purva, purvo. Shaya, bhavati. Each earlier stage should be considered than the one following it. And this is specifically talking about devotion in different modes. You know, there's devotion in the mode of ignorance, which creates incredible divisions and hatred, sectarianism. And then there's devotion in the mode of passion, where you have incredible ambition. And then there's devotion in the mode of goodness, which is much more purifying, but there's still some selfish attachment. Where pure bhakti is Narayana Parasarva, Nakuchas Chanya Vibhyati, Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu, Apituryatta Darshana, prayers of Dhritarasura. Narayana Prasarve, Nakuchas Chanya Vibhyati, Swaga Pavaga Narakeshu. Narayana Parayana, one who actually loves God, actually loves Krishna. Kuchas jumps exclusively, Swaga Prabhanda Narakeshu. He does not matter what his position is material. Swaga, the heavenly planets, Pravarga, the earthly planets, Narakeshu, hell. Api Tulyatta Darshana. He just wants to please. Pure devotion. And that is what actually pleases the heart. Because that's who we are. That makes us harmonious with ourselves. We're meant for service. And when we serve, it's pleasure. Everyone knows this. I'm seeing now my mother is, she's going to be 91. I can't say 91 until she is. She's 90. So, she's become more dependent. She can't drive now. So my younger brother lives nearby. And he makes great sacrifice and he serves her. It's just so inherent. Even though it's great sacrifice for him because he lives in New Jersey, he works in the city, you know, so many things to do. This is just the nature of the soul, to serve. And when you actually have faith in that, that becomes your objective. Be selfless and serving and awaken that spirit within the heart. And wanting to be in that position. And that's what real religion is. It's that spirit to serve God. So there's different passionate, is ambitious and ignorant, hypocritical, angry, such a peaceful, different types. And then it will describe that in devotion, the success becomes easier. Because it's love. Bhakti is easy because it's love. Love, devotion is the core of bhakti. It's the core of spirituality. It's easy. It's easier. Because it's the nature of your soul. And the process is the ego. So you're right there when you're performing bhakti. It's more easy than other processes. Because because other processes are not pleasurable. The objective is pleasurable, not the process. You're performing some austerity, you're performing some sacrifice, not for itself, for what you get from that activity. Therefore, the activity is boring, the activity is arduous, but bhakti cannot be delineated by anything else. Its very nature is love. And love is pleasure. So that we're going to describe next the different features of bhakti. But this just introduced mixed devotion that we have to identify. And what is it mixed with? It's mixed with some kind of ill intention or selfish intention, which is antithetical to bhakti. Okay, any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj,
okay, Govardhan, you're back. I got that nice letter from you today. That was really sweet. And
thank you.
I'll have to come over and visit sometime. So, okay. Anybody else would like to say hello? Okay. So I think we're going to end the class today. Thank you all. Anshu Kopla Thirubhya Sarkavasindhu Devachar.